From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Thursday, September 21st, and here are today's headlines. Senator Peter Welch says emergency flood relief for Vermont's farmers could be delayed if there's a government shutdown at the end of the month. A group of House Republicans is threatening to shut the federal government down if a new supplemental budget bill does not include cuts to many domestic programs, along with tougher immigration policies. Speaking on the Senate floor Tuesday night, Welch reminded his colleagues that a handful of important disaster relief programs are administered through the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and they would be affected by a shutdown.
The impact on Vermont's farmland is stunning. The USDA's Natural Resource Conservation Service estimates anywhere between 145,000 and 686,000 acres of agricultural land in the state was impacted by flooding.
Small Business Administration officials say their disaster relief programs will not be affected by a government shutdown. Meanwhile, Governor Phil Scott wants to boost state-funded aid to businesses that suffered damage in the July flooding. The administration launched a $20 million assistance program in August to help businesses recover from the disaster, but individual awards have been capped at $20,000. Scott says he now wants to eliminate that cap and give out grants that cover up to 30% of total flood-related damages.
Now that many of these small businesses have reopened, this additional money should make sure they can stay open, which is equally as important.
Scott says the state can increase award sizes without boosting overall funding for the program. The proposal still needs approval from a legislative committee. Brattleboro's fire department will eventually respond to calls for emergency medical services. The town's previous EMS provider, Rescue Inc., lost its contract last year after answering ambulance calls in Brattleboro for nearly six decades. That's according to VT Digger. Brattleboro's select board unanimously voted for the municipal takeover this week, and the town now has 9 months to secure three ambulances for the fire department. The vote follows a year and a half of debate, including criticism from residents after the select board voted to drop Rescue Inc. with little public notice. A wide swath of residents opposed the municipal takeover. During this week's meeting, they presented a petition with 400 signatures calling to rehire Rescue Inc. Select board members claim the municipal takeover will provide the town with better control over EMS services, though it's also expected to increase costs. Hannaford has become the first major supermarket chain to join a partnership highlighting Vermont organic dairy. Olga Moriarty is executive director of the Northeast Organic Family Farm Partnership, which works with organic dairy farmers throughout the Northeast. She says Hannaford is committed to a one-year special promotion period for locally sourced organic dairy products in their stores, including from Organic Valley, Stonyfield, and Butterworks, Vermont's oldest certified organic dairy.
They're going to be promoting the brands that we know are sourcing milk from within this region, with the hope that then through 1 year of consistent promotions, that they will see an uptick in sales.
Moriarty says the move does not mean Vermont organic dairy farmers will necessarily see an increase in their pay price for milk and other dairy products. But she says an increase in consumer awareness and sales will help farmers who have been struggling with spiking costs for feed, fuel, and fertilizer. Coming up, a Vermont chainsaw carver shares his passion in a new Made Here film. That's after this. A smiling 3-foot-tall bear carved from a stout log sits on its haunches, holding a sign that reads, "Welcome," while a smaller bear next to it holds one that says, "Go away." Another carved wooden bear the size of a cub squats with its piercing eyes and snout a burnished black. These are some of the creations of Charlie Dion, a chainsaw carver from Townsend, Vermont. In the film The Bear's Den, he reflects back on his life as an outdoorsman and how his passion for the chainsaw brought him to where he is today. This film, directed by Dion's nephew, Daniel Herzog, is part of Vermont Public's Made Here series, now in its 18th season. The Bear's Den will air on our main television channel tonight at 8 p.m. All season long, we'll be airing interview segments about the films. So my colleague Mary Engish spoke to Dion about The Bear's Den and what it's like to be Charlie Dion.
Well, Charlie, in the documentary, we kind of learn how you came to pick up the chainsaw and eventually use it as an artist's tool. Can you sort of briefly tell us how your life as a chainsaw carver came to be?
Well, I was involved with a tree service, which I had started, and ran that for a few years. And we had scraps of wood, you know, always trucking things away when the guys were kind of cleaning up I'd make a chair, I'd make a table, and I got involved with just wanting to use the saw, not really thinking I was an artist or anything, but, and I'm probably still not really an artist, but a craftsman, you know, and that more or less helped me along.
Well, how did the documentary come about? Like, what did you think about being the subject of a film like this? How did that process go?
My nephew, Dan, just thought it was really cool the way I went about sort of not homesteading per se, but close to it, building my own house, you know. I guess he thought there was something involved there as far as a movie, you know, just him sort of, well, you know, there's a story here. He really, it's amazing to see what he does, you know.
Yeah, it's so beautifully shot. What was your first reaction when you saw, like, the finished piece?
I didn't cry, but I'll tell you what, it hit me deep. But I think it was about me, you know? Just like, man, that's emotional, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. The documentary is called The Bear's Den, and that's the name of your business. We get to see in the film you and your wife and friends kind of create these unique carvings of bears out of wood. Why do you think you were drawn to carve bears? What was it about bears?
Yeah, one of the things I found back when I was doing the tree service was how to carve a bear. And it was actually a different chainsaw carver. And he sort of showed the first steps. And I think it's kind of a popular thing to do. So that is basically one of the first I ever did. From there, you know, we just sort of perfected that. I did spirit faces and eagles and other things, but when I was very early in carving, people would take the carvings, and I was impressed that someone would want to, because they looked like, you know, an overgrown pig more than a bear, really. And the bears, it just seemed to work out.
In the film, you say you're in your 60s, right? And you kind of, like, reflect back on the decades of your life living and working. And how has living in Vermont and in Townsend in that region shaped you and sort of your personal philosophies on life?
Townsend's a great little spot just to get to know some of these guys and in the Vermont way of life, you know? It's hard to put into words, but just, you know, the friendliness, the openness to try and help other people instead of trying to take. It's a nice town that, and I think a lot of our towns in Vermont are that way, in helping people out.
When you mention that, it reminds me of the part in the film where, you know, you get a call from somebody close by that's having some water issues, and you're you're helping them out with the trying to get their pump going, or, you know, you've got a generator and you've got a wagon. And
yeah, we'll go over and we'll give her a hand. And even if we don't have the right tools, we kind of come up with something. If we couldn't do it one way, we'd figure out another way, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a theme that we notice too, is that bartering that goes on.
Yeah, and you get like a loaf of pumpkin bread or, you know, some kind of cookies or something, or a cup of coffee or something. You know, there's no need to be paid, but you can certainly, you know, stop, maybe have a soda, you know, or even a beer, you know, if it's after 5. No, I'm kidding.
Right now, you're at the Big E. That's the world's only multi-state fair representing all of the New England states. That event, it plays a big part in the documentary, too. What does your day consist of while you're at the Big E? Is it 17 days that you're there?
17 days, yeah. We're camping out in a camper, kind of out in the parking lot. It's kind of nice because I'm sitting here talking to you right now in this nice parking lot. Sun's out. We get in our little golf cart and head over to our booth. And we have my son, Colby, and his best friend, Zach, who's been helping out. And he just started learning how to chainsaw carve. So this is his first year. Fire up the saws, usually around 11 or 12 o'clock. Start performing with the chainsaw carvings and stuff like that, doing demonstrations. And we go right up till about 9 o'clock. After 4 or 5 days of doing it, and you don't get a good night's sleep or something, we all get these droopy little eyes. We all look kind of tired. Everybody in the Vermont building actually gets that way.
At the Big E, do you sell a lot of the carvings?
We do. We probably made somewhere about 130 different carvings. And some of them aren't all finished. And there's probably like 40 or 50. We get pretty wiped out. This year we had to go up in prices because everything, you know, everything with the inflation and everything. So we're sort of adjusting that a little bit. And my son, he's into these gnomes and stuff. So whole new department kind of thing. People are really liking it kind of thing. So
he's in the gnome department. I like that.
Yeah, I'm still in the bear department, but he's in the gnome department. So that's why they're not in the movie.
That was chainsaw carver Charlie Dion speaking with host Mary Engish. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Bob Kinzel, Peter Hirschfeld, and Adia Golston. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.